The book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, and we're going to put in tonight in verse number 11. We ended our study last week in Ephesians chapter 2 with a verse that many have committed to memory. The Bible declares, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Look what the Bible says in verse number 11 of Ephesians chapter number 2. "Wherefore remember that being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ," in verse 12, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Let's bow our heads and hearts together. That's my thought: no hope without God. Let's pray. Father, again, we ask that you would help us. Lord, we pray, Lord, you'd hide us behind the cross, and Lord, may nothing that we have to say, Lord, be presented, but Lord, all that you have to say and nothing be omitted. Father, we pray that you'd help us. May the Word of God find its lodging place in our heart. And we'll give you the glory for all you do in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you very much. And you may be seated. The first part of Ephesians chapter 2 talks about what happened before we were saved. It's one of those famous "but God" passages. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened," in verse number 1, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." And the scripture goes on to say, "who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh among the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, hath raised us up together and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. For by grace are you saved through faith." I'm glad that God, there was an intervention, hallelujah. We were walking according to the course of this world. I've shared with you, I was preaching out of Ephesians chapter 2 in Mohandasine, Egypt. And I was preaching with an older gentleman, and he was my translator, and I was trying to preach, and I was talking about sin will take you down, 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 further and further down according to the course of this world. Well, I use the terminology of a waterfall. It'll take you down like going over the precipice, going over a waterfall. I didn't realize that there was no word for waterfall in Arabic. And the fellow couldn't think of a word, and so at one time Egypt was occupied by the French. And they had French culture. Napoleon Bonaparte, he's the fellow who blowed the pyramid, all the height off the pyramid as far up as he could reach, trying to discover some great treasure in the Great Pyramid of Giza. Well, that French culture kicked in, and so he reached over into the French language, and he borrowed the word for fountain. And most of the Egyptian people knew what that was. Sadly, they knew what that was. Rather than that water taking you down, 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 he had that water taking you up, up, up. Sin will take you up, 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 higher, higher, and higher. Got done with the message. It took the missionary about 30 minutes to straighten out the mess I'd made between me and my interpreter. We had made a mess of it. But can I tell you, it is a downward spiral. No matter what the translator tells you, it's a downward spiral. But I wanted to look a little more deeply tonight into what took place when God intervened, but God. Look what the scripture says in verse number 11. The Bible says, "In times past, Gentiles in the flesh." There are only two kind of people on earth, according to this designation, and you were either Jewish or you were Gentile. And when I say Jewish, you had to be of the stock of Abraham. And you were either Jewish and a part of that covenant of Abraham, or you were a Gentile and you were outside of that covenant, and there was nothing in between. And that was the shape we were in. That was the state we were in. The Bible says, in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. Gentiles. Now, I want you to understand that a Gentile was only slightly on the totem pole above a dog. As a matter of fact, they often referred to us, the Jews referred to the Gentiles, as Gentile dogs. It was a common designation. Now, yesterday we saw a bumper sticker that said, "Dog is my co-pilot." Well, I hope that dog preaches their funeral, and I hope they bury that dog with them. What about that just seems so blasphemous to take the three letters of God and turn it around and say, "Dog is my co-pilot." And I realize people are dog crazy. I get that. And I can tell you that you learn to love little things. You do. I get that. But I want you to understand the dogs that I'm talking about in Bible times, they were not household pets. They were mangy and they were filthy and they were wormy and they were all of the diseases, and they were scavengers and they roamed the streets sometimes in bands and sometimes would attack, you know, small animals and children and other things. And so dogs were almost what we would have the idea, the connotation of wolves. You wouldn't let your kids play with a pack of wolves, would you? Well, the same thing would be the idea with a pack of dogs in the days that we're talking about. And we were likened to that. That's what Gentiles were like. We were like those much dogs. And in our flesh, we were unsafe. But look what the scripture says. Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Not only our past state, but also our past scorn. The Jews had a designation for us. And they looked at us being Gentile, male or female, didn't matter. You were looked at as being unclean. And that was the designation. And that was the idea behind it. And so there was this derogatory description by the Jews of the Gentiles here that's referred to in this passage in verse number 11. But the Bible goes on to tell us in verse number 12 that at that time ye were without Christ. Not only is there a derogatory description in verse 11, but verse number 12 points out that we were dangerously deficient, meaning that we were, the Bible declares, without Christ. Can I tell you that you're either in Christ or you're without Christ? There are people who like to line up, get four or five different options. They're not four or five options. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. And back in the old dispensation, that meant something. Today, it doesn't mean anything. That thing's been broken down. We'll discuss that. The scripture's going to deal with that here in just a moment. But can I tell you that the new distinction is that you are either in Christ or you're not. You're either in Him or you're without Him. And there's nothing in between. The Bible says that we should look that at that time, we are called upon to remember our deficit, how lacking we were. And the Bible reminds us of the time. The Bible says, remember that time. I always tell folks, it's good to remember when you were lost so you can remember how good it is to be saved. But can I tell you that if you can't remember ever being lost, then oftentimes that's a sign that there's an issue and that there's a problem. If you can't remember your before Christ days, if you can't remember before the time that you were, when you were on the outside looking in, and God convicted your never dying soul, and you realized your need of a Savior, and you called upon Him to redeem you by His amazing grace, He took up His abode in your heart, and from that point forward, you know that He lives, as the songwriter said, He lives within my heart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. So he reminds us of the time, but he also reminds us of the truth. In verse number 12, he says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Aliens. You ever feel like you don't belong? You ever walked into somewhere and you feel like you didn't belong there? You ever walked in and you felt odd? You ever walk in somewhere and you feel, let's hurry and get out of here. I don't feel comfortable here. This is very uncomfortable. I don't like being here. I don't feel like I belong here. Fella told his wife one Sunday morning. She said, get up, said, time for church. He said, I'm not going. She said, why? He said, I don't feel comfortable down there. She said, what do you mean you don't feel comfortable? He said, I don't think they like me. And he said, I just don't feel comfortable there. And she said, you get up out of that bed and get dressed. He said, you give me one good reason why I ought to get up and get dressed. She said, you're the pastor. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Sinners that were alienated. And the Bible says, and strangers from the covenants of promise. Let's see if I can say it this way. We had no citizenship. That whole word commonwealth, it comes from the idea of where we get the word politic from. And it would be the idea of the preface of in Greek of some, which means added to or a part of, and the idea of the word politic. You're a part of the politic, or you're part of the how would I put it? The population, part of the citizenry would be a better term that we would understand. And so that's what it's talking about. And that's what it's dealing with. But we were not citizens. You see, we were Gentiles. We had no citizenship. We had no claim to citizenship, if you will. We were just here, but we were not citizens. But then the Bible says something about covenants. We were sinners alienated from the commonwealth, but we were also strangers alien to the covenants. What are you talking about, preacher? We had no covenant. What's that mean? We had no protection. We had nothing. We had no agreement. We had nothing. And so, if you can imagine being in a country illegally, I have spent a few days as an illegal alien. You didn't know that, did you? I have. I spent some days illegal alien. At least that's what they were going to charge me with. I did have my paperwork, but they didn't like it. And because of some things that I had said, and they tapped a phone call, I spent several days hiding from the secret police in an Arabic country. And they were going to charge me with being an alien and going to charge me and deport me and possibly lock me up and do some prison time and some other things. And it was quite interesting. It was quite scary. Just be fair with you. I never got to leave the house. I was under complete lockdown, couldn't look out the windows. I was in a mess. And like most things are resolved, it was a matter of money. And so when we laid enough $100 bills on the table, they issued me a pass and stamped my passport, and I was fine, but I couldn't do it because they'd have wanted everything I had. So I had to do it through a third party and do it through a surrogate and have them to negotiate my case. We had to get a lawyer involved, and it was tough. And every time a card backfired, I thought for sure they was coming to get me. And I couldn't talk on the phone, couldn't do anything. It was rough. It had been several days. And because of the situation, then my translator had to leave, and so I was alone. And I was in this Arab country alone. I was there supposedly illegally against the law, that I had not registered properly or whatever the situation was, and it was hard. And I'll tell you how the Lord used something simple. I turned the television on to keep from hearing boogers. Every time I'd hear somebody in the stairwell, I'd think it was a booger. I'd think they was coming to get me. And I finally, after 3 days of that, not sleeping and just being awake round the clock, I just couldn't take no more. So I turned the television on, and they were speaking in Arabic, and it was just jabber to me. I didn't get much. I would try on the commercials to figure out some of what they were saying, and sometimes I'd do some of the math. If they were doing an ad or something, I would try to do the numbers. I learned the numbers, and I learned some of the phraseology. But there was a woman come on. She was the announcer between the programs, and she said, "Dee dee 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 Davy Crockett, dee 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 dee." I said, "That sounded a lot like she said Davy Crockett." And she talked on there a minute, and the screen went blank, and then it come on, and it said, "Don't, don't, 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 Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier." So then I come up off that couch a-shouting. It was something I could understand. It was Fess Parker and Jed Clampett. What's his name? Buddy Ebsen. And they was playing, it was the old 50-something Davy Crockett, and they were talking mountain talk, and they were set in the mountains of Tennessee. Son, God sent me that. I sat there and watched that, and tears run down my face. I'm telling you, I never been so glad to hear English in all my life. I never been so glad to communicate and get to hear something. I'd been over almost a month. I hadn't talked to nobody. It was hard. And I was scared to death. It was as if the Lord said it'd be all right. And after that was over, I stepped out on the balcony in the dark. And I just looked out over the city and the city of millions of people. And I looked out over the city and I just looked up to heaven. And I said, "Lord, I don't understand." That man's like this. "Lord, I don't understand. All I know is, Lord, I thought I was in your will. Lord, I was trying to be in your will when I came over here." And looked up toward the sky and I said, "Oh, Lord, my God, how I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I view the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. I see thy power throughout the universe displayed." And when I started to sing, "Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee," a great big raindrop hit me in the palm of my hand. It ain't rained over there in months. It ain't rained over there since, hardly. But there was a raindrop that big around hit me in the palm of my hand. And I looked up and one hit me in the forehead. And I throwed my other hand up and one hit me in the front. And it was just a few sprinkles. But son, I like to come unglued. I ain't never been so excited in my life. And it's just like the Lord spoke peace in my heart. Said, "It'll be all right. It'll be all right. You ain't going to be an alien forever. It's going to be okay." They come back from the police station late that night and they said, "We got good news. Here's your papers. Here it is." They tried to get us to bring you down there for questioning. And we said, no go. "We'll pay. Here's the passport. You stamp it. We'll pay for the stamp. But until you, we're not going." And they spent all afternoon, all evening negotiating. Finally got my papers. And the next day I was able to leave the room. Can I tell you, I spent some time being outside, looking in. But can I tell you, I've spent some time since I've been saved on the outside looking in. I've walked at a guilty distance. I know what it feels like to not be able to enjoy the world because you're too full, because you know you're saved, and not being able to enjoy the church because you know you're full of the world, and to be a man without a country. Been there, done that, ain't a going back by the grace of God. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. And look what the Bible says. For anyone who's in that shape, the Bible tells us in this case, hopeless without hope, having no hope, and helpless and without God in the world. How in the world a lost people continue to be lost? I don't understand it. The Bible tells us how what a derogatory description in verse number 11 concerning this thing of being reconciled to God. Dogs, Gentiles. The Bible tells us how deficit we were. We were aliens. We were adrift spiritually, no hope, without God. And then the Bible tells us how we were divinely delivered. Look what the scripture says. verse 13, says, but now in Christ Jesus, but now, there it is again, but God, but now, but now. He just got through saying, but God, now he adds to it, but now. You were walking according to course this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You were in that realm, but now. Look at this, in Christ Jesus. Anytime you see Christ first, it always speaks of the grace and mercy of God. If you see Jesus Christ, it speaks of his authority. If you see Christ Jesus, it speaks of his atonement. That's how you remember it. Because the word Christ is the word Messiah. In Arabic, you would say Yeshua al-Messiah. And that is Yeshua, Jesus. In Hebrew, it would be Yeshua. They're very close. One's Yeshua and Yeshua. I think Yeshua may be, actually, Yeshua is Arabic, and Yeshua is Hebrew. And Yeshua al-Messiah, and it means the Christ. Jesus, the Christ. Messiah, the word for Messiah, the Christ, the atonement. And says, but now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off. And when we think about sometimes, we use that in the idea, well, sometimes. Do you have a good night's rest? Do you sleep well? Well, sometimes. That's not the context. What it's talking about, sometime, plural, sometime, some years, time, times, and half times in Scripture, means years. Sometimes, those lost years, those past years, who were sometimes were far off, but then look what the Bible says, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. If anybody ever tries to take away, there's a fellow on the West Coast that says, we're not saved by blood. He made this statement. He said, the blood of Jesus fell into the ground and the ground absorbed it like any other blood. He said, we're not saved by the blood. He said, we ain't saved by blood. He said, said, that's the Old Testament. We ain't saved by the blood. Somebody should have gotten in touch with the Apostle Paul and talked to him. Because the Apostle Paul is teaching to the Ephesian believers. And can I say this? The book of Ephesians is not Christianity 101. No. This is like Christianity 402. The most advanced book of the Bible as far as doctrine and position and heavenly truth is concerned. Romans, we get to see from man's point of view looking Godward. But in the book of Ephesians, he takes us into some of the heavenlies. And we get to see it from God's perspective looking downward. And he gets to deal with some positional truth. Some things that we would not otherwise have known had we not had the book of Ephesians. I mean, some lofty things are discussed in this book. And so he tells us something about our reconciliation to God by the Lord Jesus. Verse 11, 12. And 13. And then he says something about the believer's relationship to God. Our reconciliation to God, but then our relationship. The Bible declares, for he is our peace. He is our peace. Not that Christianity is our peace, but he, in a person, he's our peace. Who hath made both one. And the Bible says, who hath made both one. Now think about that. Hath made both one. Both who? Both Jew and Gentile. That was a big deal. Matter of fact, it was dealt with several times in the New Testament. Paul had to deal with it multiple times. There was a big deal over circumcision. And many people believe that Christianity was an annexation of Christian ideals to Judaism. And they were called Judaizers. The Galatians fell into that. And the Apostle Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? How soon are you fallen from grace? They were trying to mix law and grace. Anybody tries to mix it, it's like oil and vinegar. They will not mix. You can shake it together, but they will separate. They do not combine. And it's not, that's just the way it is. It's either law or it's grace, but there you can't mix the two. They're not compatible. The Bible says, who hath made both one, and look at this, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now he takes a very Jewish reference here and gives it to us. And even though the church at Ephesus is a primarily Gentile church, in a Gentile city, there were Jews involved in it. But he uses a term that maybe the Greeks knew that. Maybe the Gentiles knew it. As you entered into the main temple, there was the main, what they call the outer court. This is the section that probably had been polluted and populated by the merchants. This is the section probably that Christ had to cleanse at the beginning of his ministry and again at the end of his ministry, full of all sorts of animals and money changers and all the rest. And it had become a den of thieves because they cheated people. You were not allowed to bring and pay your temple tax or give an offering with a picture of Caesar. That was considered to be filthy lucre. You could not use that. So you had to change your money and get a temple sex shekel. And so if you was paying your half shekel temple tax that the males had to pay each year, or whatever you were doing, whatever offering you were giving, it had to be converted from the Roman coin to the Jewish coin. And so there were men there who were taking advantage of that. And of course, the scripture tells us another place that they were selling doves and sacrifices and those things in that outer court. As you came into the temple, through the main passage, you'd come in and the big area was that outer court. And a mixture of Jew and Gentile, ladies and otherwise, were out there. But as you came in, there was a wall. It was higher than this one. It was roughly, it was about that high. It was about 52 to 54 inches high. It was too high to step over. But it was plenty low enough you could see over it, which I thought was interesting. And there on the, in the opening where you would pass through the wall, it was inscribed in multiple languages. No Gentile dare pass this point under penalty of death. You go past this point, you're going to die. You can be killed if you pass this point. And that was called the middle wall of partition. So even those God-fearing Gentiles could come into the temple. And they could come as far as the middle wall of partition, but the only thing they could do is look on in and look and cast a wishful eye as far as they could go. That's it. But listen to me. Once that Jew went inside, he could only go as far as the outer court. And then he would come upon the holy place. He was allowed no further. Even a Jew couldn't go in there. You had to be part of the Levites. You had to be a part of the priestly tribe. It had to be your lot to service. Just because you were a Levite don't mean you could stroll in and out of there. No. It had to be your lot to serve. And you could go in to change the bread. You could go in to put oil in the candle. You could go in to keep coals burning and burn incense in the altar of incense. But that's the only reason you went in there. And you had to be a priest. You had to be a male. You had to be without blemish. You had to be Jewish. And it had to be your lot to go in. There were 24 different groups that rotated through those duties. And past that wall, there was another, even further inner sanctum. And inside that was the Holy of Holies. And only one man, once a year, entered into that place, the high priest. There's the partition that kept you out of the Holy of Holies. There's the partition that kept you out of the holy place. If you're a Gentile, there's the middle wall of partition. It kept you out of the temple altogether. And the Lord said, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Happy day. Direct access. That's why that veil was rent in twain. When the Lord Jesus cried, it's finished. If a man had done it, he'd have ripped it from the bottom to the top. But to show that it originated in heaven. By the way, they say that thing was so thick. It was a woven tapestry so thick that horses could, if you hooked horses to it, you could not have torn it because of its construction. And that thing began to rip of its own accord. And it started at the top and it ripped all the way to the bottom, right down the middle. And it swung open. And there bore the Holy of Holies to all for all to see. What I'm talking about, He is our, He broke down the middle wall of partition. He is our peace, hallelujah. I'm talking about who He is. He hath made both one. Can I tell you, partitions in the New Testament, they're man-made. And I don't care how you draw them, I don't care how you cut them, they're man-made. We got it all figured out, don't we? We got all these petitions figured out and we got all these compartments. They're man-made. God didn't ordain those. The Bible goes on to say, it tells us who Christ is. He's our peace. But it goes on to tell us what Christ did. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I tell you, not only who Christ is, He's our peace, but what Christ did, He took away the enmity. He took away the guilt and the shame. And He put us all on level ground. I'm glad, hallelujah, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. I'm glad to report to you the believer's relationship. But I would hurriedly say in this, the Bible says He came to preach peace to you in verse 17, which were afar off to them that were nigh and to them that were nigh. He deals with those non-Jews, the Gentiles, us that were far off. But then He also deals with those that were nearby. And to them that were nigh, the Jews, they were nigh. And many did believe. And many understood the type and the picture. And for that reason they were converted. The Bible says, for through Him we have both access by one Spirit unto the Father. There was a little boy, and he come outside of Buckingham Palace. This was years ago. This had really happened. And he come up with his little knickers, and he come up, a little boy come up, and he said, the guards were there, and he started through the gate. They said, where are you going, son? He said, I want to see the king. And they said, son, step aside. You can't see the king. And so next, somebody else come up and they opened the gate for him and they let him in, had their credentials. Little boy started to run in. They said, son, where are you going? He said, I come to see the king. They said, son, I'm sorry. You can't see the king today. And they shoot him back and said, get off to the side. Well, this happened several times and the guards at Buckingham Palace become increasingly annoyed with this kid. But he's bent on seeing the king. So a very nice Rolls Royce pulls up. Well-dressed young man steps out. Somebody in front of them started into the gate. And once again, the little boy rehearsed it all over again. But this time, this well-dressed young man out of this Rolls Royce heard him. And he said, but I came to see the king. And they said, son, you're not going to see the king today. The well-dressed gentleman walked over to him, young man. walked over to him and he said, son, what's your name? And he told him. He said, take my hand. He took his hand. They walked up to the gate and the guards saluted, clicked their heels. The gates opened up. In the little boy marched, holding this gentleman's hand. Up the stairs, everyone greeting the gentleman and the little boy. Little boy thought, how polite these people are. They're saluting me. They're opening the doors for me. They're standing at attention for me. How nice these people that work for the king must be. Look how they're treating me. They're just treating me so nice. It's all smiling at me, all greeting me, bowing to me. I said, oh, it's just so nice. I said, finally, down the end of a long corridor, they come into a room. And there sat King Edward. And this gentleman said, Father, little Johnny's here to meet you. And he said, hello, Johnny. Edward was the son. It was King George. He said, my name is George, son. How are you? Edward was the Prince of Wales. He got passage into the presence of the king by holding hands with the son. Nobody asked no more questions. Nobody denied him no more entrance. All he had to do was hold hands with the prince. And he had direct access. Nobody dared even hinder him. As a matter of fact, they opened the doors on the way and let him come in. Now, I know this is hard for you to understand, but angels will bow. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And when he makes his entrance, see, he's coming to get us. And when he makes his entrance back in, you better understand angels are coming to full attention. Wings, eyes, I'm talking about full attention. And you'll think you're somebody. Because all of those angelic beings will stand at attention as you walk in. But the fact of the matter is, they're not saluting you. They're saluting the Son. I want you to understand tonight, if you don't go away with anything else, I want you to go away tonight understanding that our status has changed. Understanding that this is not hearsay. Understanding that our reconciliation to God is by Christ and Him alone. There is none other. There's no other mediator. There's one mediator, the scripture says, between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Our reconciliation to God is by Christ. Our relationship to God is by Christ. And can I say that our reality with God is in Christ? The Bible says in verse number 19, now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Whoop. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. You said, but now wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. Let me get this now. We're Gentiles, but you try and tell me that we're Gentiles and they're Jews, but you try and tell me that we're now citizens together with Christ. Yes. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's right. You see, I am a citizen of North Carolina. We have citizens here of Georgia, South Carolina, Illinois, Texas. I don't know where else. Alaska. Alaskan citizens, that's right. Alaskan citizens. And that's who we are by birth or by where we live. Where we dwell. But understand that because Alaska and Texas and North Carolina and Georgia and Tennessee and Illinois are part of the Union, we are all citizens of the United States. We are residents of these places we are. And yes, we are citizens. I got a driver's license. It says I'm a citizen of North Carolina. And I'm subject to the citizens of North Carolina. I'm subject to the laws of the state of North Carolina. I am. But can I tell you, there's a higher law. It's called federal law. And I am more subject to that than I am state law. And can I tell you that federal law always overrides local law or state law? And can I tell you, hallelujah, that while I may be a Gentile, hallelujah, my citizenship is now in another country. It's called the New Jerusalem. And I, hallelujah, am, listen, my immigration has been approved, and all I lack doing is moving, hallelujah. That's all I'm just waiting on the moving truck to pull up, amen. I'm just waiting for it to pull up. I'm just waiting on the next loadout. I mean, because, hey, everything's been approved. My immigration's been approved. And some glad day you'll hear I'm dead. Don't you believe it? All I did was just move on up. That's all I did. Fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. The Bible says, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a temple, holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Happy day. We're a part of something big. Real big. As the president would say, huge. It's going to be huge. There ain't no words to describe what's awaiting the child of God. And it ain't nothing that I've done. Lord knows it ain't because of that, nothing I've done. Being a good if being a good person to get you there, Christ died in vain. If being baptized to get you there, Christ died in vain. Any of the man-made rudiments, any of the man-made systems, whatever they are, if that could do it, Christ died in vain. I'm going because I saw myself lost. I saw myself a Gentile dog, stranger and alienated from the commonwealth of God. I saw myself in that shape. Commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise. And I saw myself having no hope and without God in this world. And I stood on that middle wall petition, looking across, casting a wishful eye. Boy, if I could just ever get in yonder. Ooh, what about that? And the Lord said, there's only one way to get there. On your knees. You won't jump in, you won't run, and you'll have to crawl. Humble yourself like a little child. And that's how you'll gain access. I'm not talking about doing penance neither. I'm talking about with a repentant heart, receive Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm glad, hallelujah, for the hope that we have. The believer's reconciliation, the believer's relationship, and the believer's reality. I'm glad it's real. Hallelujah. I'm glad it's not some hope so, think so, maybe so. I'm glad, thank God, it is reality. Just waiting to happen. Absolutely. Do you know him tonight as your Savior?